We're hearing the sound of walking arriving at the spring of this valley. And by request, I just want to give a few little Dharmaloka news tidbits. One is that Thijs from Holland built a beautiful staircase from the dining area up towards the shed and garden, so you don't have to go all the way around. One is that finally, after 6 years today itself, the driveway is no longer a death-defying experience. And it's wide and smooth. Trucks will be able to come up with trailers of different things like firewood without turning pale in the driving seat. And we have our first real kind of winter garden happening, thanks to all the visitors this autumn. So I'd like to talk about happiness. Love, resilience. Starting by talking a little bit about the work of a cardiologist that I came across thanks to Laura, who showed this on Facebook, about a doctor named Nadir Bhutto, who makes the radical statement that medicines don't cure anything. He says, even if the patient gets a medicine that stops the symptoms, the patient doesn't get well and the medicine hasn't cured anything. So the patient may receive medication, but the doctor says he doesn't become cured. He or she becomes a chronic patient, dependent on this medication for the rest of their life. As a doctor, I haven't cured anything. There's no healing there. There's no treatment. There's treatment, but no healing. And he said, let's look at how the system so far has come to be satisfied with itself, and are we satisfied with that? And he says, personally, I'm not satisfied. So he talks about how he sees illness developing in a pretty, almost simplistic kind of way. So he talks about different stresses that happen in life, where he gives an example of a woman who's fighting with her husband all the time, and that consumes energy. He says the energy has to be taken from somewhere, and so the energy comes at the expense of something else. It comes from the place which, as he said, the frequency of that crisis is the same in the body. So the frequency of that, he means like the energy frequency, the resonance of the difficulty. The woman is resonating in her right breast, is in this case, in the case of this woman, she resonates in her right breast cells with that crisis that she's experiencing outwardly. And so the cells of her right breast take that internalizing anger, and it becomes a cramp, it becomes a cyst, and it drains so much energy that the cells become weakened. And then he says that the cells can fall below a certain threshold that's defined, medically speaking, as below 36 millivolts, which is the membrane potential. So that's the electrical minimum amount of energy that would keep the membrane of the cell functioning. In any cell, no matter which kind, he says, when it falls below this potential, this amount of energy, the cells begin to multiply because they sense a mortal danger. So the cells think, oh my God, we're about to disappear, we're about to die. And so they start multiplying, and that is what we call cancerous growth. So it's interesting. He's a trained cardiologist in medical school, and he continues to see people in a regular hospital setting, as well as having a year-long waiting list to see people, including Shimon Peres of Israel, for his what he calls an energy washout, where he'll allow people to actually experience the pain that they've been hiding in their body. Not that they've been trying to hide it, but that's gone into hiding in the body. Able to feel it on its way out. Along with what he calls the soul, a basic connection to life, which is called happiness. So hearing from Dr. Bhutto, we also hear a resonance with the Buddhist teachings when the Buddha reminds us that there is always going to be, no matter how good we are, no matter how bad we are, there's going to be sometimes happy days and sometimes unhappy days. There are going to be gain and loss, praise and blame, success and failure, and praise and blame. This is going to follow us everywhere. And so the difference between a happy life and an unhappy life, or fulfilled life and an unfulfilled life, is not like trying to get more on the plus side, but being able to manage a life, being able to sift through and being able to navigate, being able to dance with the experiences that are going to come our way, that are not going to follow our ideals. They're not going to be obedient to our ideas. And so how can we take in, and how can we live with, how can we dance through experiences that are going to sometimes be what we want and sometimes be what we hate every day, without unnecessarily draining energy, without unnecessarily threatening ourselves through our stress? And so if everyone, every single person, every single creature, and certainly every single human being faces difficulty every day, as well every single human being faces some joy every single day, what is a way of living with that without hiding, without burning ourselves up, without holding back from life, without getting burned up by, without having a sense that life is burning me up as some outsider taking me over? There's some talk now in sociology, in psychology, social psychology, about resilience. This would be the first kind of category of life skill for human experience. When things are difficult, when things don't go according to our ideals or ideas or expectations, our habits, what gives us contact with sort of our funds of resource, our funds of okayness, our deep foundations in our being? One of the main things that they sort of statistically can find helps resilience is a people network. Having people in our lives, having contact and connection. So not just the connection, also the contact, not just the contact, also the connection with people. And I think we would also like to go a little further than that. What is it about having contacts and connection? What does that have to do with resilience? What does that have to do with not having to, not being forced to, not compulsively internalizing that anger and burning up ourselves, draining our life energy when things are difficult? So things will be difficult, we've already accepted that. Having connections and contact with people, how does that help? Because sometimes people mention that the hardest part of their day, the most difficult part of their day, is their connections and contact. So what is the benefit? How does being in touch with people increase resilience? When we also hear the reports that being in touch with people increases the difficulty, is the main subject of many interviews, many frustrations, and many burnings, inner burnings. I think if we bring in a poem by Wendell Berry at this point, part of a poem, it's from a poem called The Country of Marriage. And he has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 paragraph-sized sections to the poem. I'm reading number 5. And he says, our bond, this is actually just an upfront, obvious poem to his wife. It's not metaphorical. It's not to a secret, unknown figure. It's to his wife of, in his long-term marriage. So we have this rare chance to hear poetry not written to the artist's muse of the moment, but of his lifetime wine and support and inspiration. Our bond is no little economy based on the exchange of my love and work for yours, so much for so much of an expendable fund. We don't know what its limits are. That puts it in the dark. We are more together than we know. How else could we keep on discovering we are more together than we thought? So I'll just repeat the beginning, because sometimes it's hard to hear poetry just without seeing it. He's talking to his wife, about his wife. Our bond is no little economy based on the exchange of my love and work for yours, so much for so much of an expendable fund. So it's not about cost and payment. We don't know what its limits are. That puts it in the dark. We are more together than we know. How else could we keep on discovering we are more together than we thought? So he's talking about discovering in the day-to-day life together on the farm in Kentucky, a simple life, a gentle life, a hard-working life, and also a sophisticated life where poetry is a part of it, as well as keeping horses and so on. The discovery from day to day, in the day to day, sometimes through difficulty and sometimes through pleasure, through joy, through ease. Discovering that we are more together than we thought, and realizing what that means is that we are more together than we know. So that some kind of bond with another person has already happened, deeper than we know, not only up in the daylight, also in the dark, underground. And in the day-to-day, sometimes in the difficulty, sometimes in the joy, we keep on discovering we are more together than we thought. Now, this is to a wife from a husband. I would like to suggest that not only me, like reading into Wendell Berry, but maybe Wendell Berry himself, a lover of nature, is not only talking about his wife. He is talking about his wife, but I think he's also talking about the ground and the tree and people that we hardly know. So shall I read it again with that in mind? Our bond is no little economy based on the exchange of my love and work for yours, so much for so much of an expendable fund. We don't know what its limits are. That puts it in the dark. We are more together than we know. How else could we keep on discovering we are more together than we thought? You are, and this is where now he comes to talking about a familiar person in a familiar place. You are the known way leading always to the unknown. So even when we recognize someone or something, or we think we do, the nature of life is that the known leads always to the unknown. And you are the known place to which the unknown is always leading me back. You are the known way leading always to the unknown, and you are the known place to which the unknown is always leading me back. So the openness of our bond with what seems to be outside of us and whom seems to be outside of us. More blessed in you than I know, I possess nothing worthy to give you, nothing not belittled by my saying that I possess it. So the feeling sometimes that we could have just standing on the earth, standing on the rocks, standing on the dirt, hearing wind and trees. More blessed in you than I know. I possess nothing. I have nothing that is worth as much as what I'm receiving right now. I possess nothing worthy to give you, nothing not belittled by my saying that I possess it. Anything that I could say I would give would be an insult to say that it's mine. Even an hour of love is a moral predicament, a blessing someone may be hard up to be worthy of. One can only accept it as a plant accepts from all the bounty of the light enough to live. So much more is given than we can even absorb. Instead of our usual way of living, where so much is given and we use up more than that. And so then there isn't quite left enough for the cells to stay vital. One can only accept it, love, light, life, energy, as a plant accepts from all the bounty of the light enough to live, and then accepts the dark, passing unencumbered back to the earth. So how burdensome when we think that we do own things, or when we think that we need to get more. And how unencumbered, how unburdened, how light and heavy at the same time, we can let our weight pull us to the ground, unencumbered back to the earth, as I have fallen time and again from the great strength of my desire, helpless, into your arms. The connection to each other that also keeps, that draws us back. Number 6, he says, what I'm learning to give you is my death, to set you free of me and me from myself, into the dark and the new light. Like the water of a deep stream, love is always too much. We did not make it. Though we drink till we burst, we cannot have it all or want it all. In its abundance, it survives our thirst. In the evening, we come down to the shore to drink our fill and sleep, while it flows through the regions of the dark. It does not hold us, except we keep returning to its rich waters, thirsty. We enter, willing to die, into the commonwealth of its joy. Sophia liked that one. The worst. So I think that we can hear through Wendell Berry's experience and his poetry, his way that he receives love as life and light, in an awareness that he's not taking all that there is, and that what's given hasn't been made by someone, but comes through connection with someone. And that then also his resilience comes from not being trapped just with what he owns and what is his and what he's made and what he's considered to be within his own, the power of his own hands, or even of his own heart, but some deeper resources that keep on flowing while we sleep, that keep on with their intelligence while we think too much until the wires cross. There's something that I feel is kind of resonating within the words of Wendell Berry and in the work of Nader Bhutto, but not quite brought out into words, that I feel is actually desperately important. I think there's a whole other factor in resilience. Not only the beauty of that resilience when we come to know that we don't have to do it all on our own power. And what is our own power? Where does it come from anyway? And that joyful allowing of love to flow back and forth, of light to come in, and that we only need take what is needed. Because there's so much. Not that because there's so much we've got to take more and more. That humbling nature of how much life goes on, how much love goes on. but also, let's say, the nature of our potential in the human life and the nature of challenges, the nature of what seems to be beyond us, whether that seems to be joyful or seems to be difficult or both, and how that is a match somehow. What comes to us in our lives that seems to be beyond our grasp, but seems to be more than we can take, whether good or bad, and how that does distinctly call out something of our potential that we could not have lived or found a way to bring out if it weren't for that experience, that kind of extreme experience, that experience of something being beyond our power. So not just the humblingness of it, but the specific way that there's some kind of alchemy, there's some kind of out of love, we want to do our best. Out of the love of life, we wish we could, and we see ourselves unable to. So this is not where we're pushing ourselves because we should. We're not going beyond our limits because everyone else is working 80 hours a week or whatever, or even 40. 25 hours a week is considered part-time. And isn't that enough? 25 hours a week of something that's called work, and then it leaves time for all the other works that are also fulfilling life's needs and movements. Being with each other, cooking food for ourselves, instead of working so hard and so long that we have to buy the prepackaged food that only needs to be reheated. So I found another poem by Wendell Berry called The Storm, where he does speak words that rhyme with awareness of death, awareness of limits, awareness of danger, extremes, powers, and how that can be the birth of what insight or previously unacknowledged capabilities. That without that extreme moment, without that meeting of our calling in our difficult life circumstances, mostly I'm talking about just day-to-day difficult, which is for most people with other human beings. For that to be the birth of our previously unbirthed capabilities, art, skill, fulfillment of what we can be through what we can do in that moment. Maybe we can't do that ever again. It was only in that event that we could. It's not about what we can do so much, but what that allows us to be in ourselves, and where we are allowed to sit more deeply in ourselves, more deeply into the heart cave. So the storm. And it sounds again that he's here with his wife. So another day-to-day moment, and this time at night. We lay in our bed as in a tomb, awakened by thunder to the dark, in which our house was one with night. And then light came as if the black roof of the world had cracked open, as if the night of all time had broken. And out our window we glimpsed the world, birth wet and shining, as even the sun at noon had never made it shine. lay in our bed as in a tomb, awakened by thunder to the dark, in which our house was one with night. And then light came as if the black roof of the world had cracked open, as if the night of all time had broken. And out our window we glimpsed the world, birth wet and shining, as even the sun at noon had never made it shine. To hear the acknowledgement by someone of that truth, that sometimes in the darkest moment, which doesn't mean dark necessarily difficult, but dark, we don't see anything. We can't even tell the difference between our house and what's outside the house. Our house was one with the night. We don't see. It doesn't mean bad. For us, we think that means bad. Until we learn this love of a light that isn't about the noontime. Until we learn that in our bones and cells and let it speak and sing. That in the tomb, and also here, we can feel death not as an enemy, but as a gentle love and an ordinary and a simple place to be. We lay in our bed as in a tomb, awakened by thunder to the dark, in which our house was one with night. And then light came as if the black roof of the world had cracked open. The end of something, we can say. As if the night of all time had broken. A moment where time stopped. And out our window we glimpsed the world. So from exactly where we are, without moving, a different experience of seeing. And how much more powerful that can be in what we thought was our weakness. And what we thought was our end, what we thought was our loss, what we thought was our rejection, or whatever. When we find that participation in our life, that shining, that birth. So it's interesting that Dr. Bhutto talks about the soul. He says the soul hurts long before the physical illness appears. It's a signal like a flashing warning light before the car stalls. But what do? We cover up the light instead of asking what's behind the symptoms and why we feel pain. So he's talking in response to patients who have chest pain. And they go and get tests, and the tests say that they're fine and that it's nothing. Days or months or years, they're told it's nothing because the tests show that there's nothing. And the patient is saying, my chest hurts. And Dr. Bhutto is saying he would call that the soul, and we can find what we would call it. What would we call that light if we don't cover it up, that says something is hurting here? And he's saying it can't be done if doctors are forced to see one patient every 10 minutes. So it takes time, which is one of the reasons why he has a year waiting list, is because he takes more than 10 minutes to meet people. So if we can give ourselves that time to lie in bed and be awakened by the thunder, to meet each other in familiar ways that lead to the unknown, and to have that ongoingness so that we find how the unknown does bring us back to each other. And feel more blessed in you, in us, than we know, possessing nothing worthy to give, nothing not belittled by saying that we possess it. So thank you for listening. Have a good evening, morning, afternoon, wherever you are. Any questions or comments?
When you combine the poem with the doctors. Yeah, I truly believe that he's right as well. Having had lots of my own experiences with pain at different places and knowing that. It's very interesting. I just don't know whether when the cancer comes into,
yeah,
or how we can avoid that.
Yeah,
you know, it seems obvious how we can avoid it, but it's not always the case.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit simplistic. I do think we can call it karma, is what I, in my mind, the word karmic comes. I think that there are some karmic causes, and I think there's some generational, like ancestral factors that, because I also would hesitate very much to go along any lines that would be like blaming the person, the patient who has cancer, oh, it's your fault that that you didn't address the pain before, and all you have to do is get an energy washout and then the cancer. I think, I mean, it's there are a lot of stories in Jinshin where that does happen too. So I think it is important to still leave that wing open, that could be, and also the other wing open where death is not a problem. Also, we're going to die, and I'm going to see next, just Wednesday, I'm flying to Australia, and I'll see this my friend who has cancer. You were here when I first found out. I've known her since 1990 or 91, and I saw her about a year and a half ago in Tiruvannamalai, and she has two kids. Her daughter just turned 10, you know, life going on, and I guess it was in May, she went in for a test and thought it was routine, and then it happened that Florian, who used to be here for a few winters, he cleared that whole thing for the horses. It was full of blackberries. And he's an angel, totally an angel. And I mean, also totally a human being, but he's really special. He had already asked me maybe a year before if I knew people in Australia that he could connect with to do work exchange, because he wanted to go. He didn't know why, but he's connected to the Hugging Mother, Hugging Amma. And whether it was his own intuition or he felt like she inside him was saying he had to go to Australia, and for him it was like to learn English, and I'm sure that's also part of it, is not only about my friend, but he got there, went straight to my friend's, and within a week or 10 days he was the one who took her to the hospital to get the routine test, and then she didn't come out for 3 hours or something, and he was the one that drove her the hour home when she just found out, and which was great because her husband wouldn't have been there in the same way, so, and he was there to So the whole thing of all these New Age people telling my friend Kumari that all she has to do is drink carrot juice and get over her, you know, childhood sexual abuse or whatever, and it's all in her hands to, and then it's also all, it's a battle against the cancer instead of any other metaphor, like. So, but there is where there are, you know, there's one story of a woman who had a grapefruit-sized tumor in her breast, which is hard to imagine, like, how big the breast must have been to have that, like, not noticeable until the doctor found it or whatever. But it was tested by the doctor. She had to go in the next week. In the meantime, she had a Jinshin treatment, which was with one of my teachers, who put her hands on it, and they both just started cracking up for an hour. They were laughing for an hour. And one or 2 days later, she went for the follow-up, and it was gone. So there is that, and it's not a battle, and death is beautiful.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion. But the whole thing of individual control of illness is very questionable.
But the connectedness with body and mind, or body and soul, if you wish.
Yeah.
That's a nice, that makes it whole. It's not only our body who is ill.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's this other part of us that you can take into account as well.
Yeah. He says something like, so the interviewer says, so you think medicine should take a holistic approach, that it shouldn't separate mind and body. Is this realistic? And he says, I'm doing it, and there's no reason that others shouldn't do it as well. I think the basic thing a doctor needs is to be patient, to feel love for others and have a desire to dig deep in order to truly understand things and not just cover them up superficially. And then the interviewer says, that's a utopian vision. Many doctors have trouble with basic human relations, which is true. I see a lot of, and then Dr. Bhutto says, I see a lot of my colleagues who would like to behave differently, but the system forces them to meet the pace, to see a patient every 10 minutes. What can a patient say in 10 minutes? It's an assembly line. The tests are more important than the patient, and if they say you're fine, then you're fine. But the patient wants someone to hear him, to help him understand his pain. Why don't we listen to his troubles? Most of the treatment we give people is psychology. If my relationship with the patient isn't good, I could give him every medicine in the world and it won't make him feel better. And then they get into this interesting thing where the interviewer says he won't feel better or he won't get well. And then Dr. Bhutto says he won't get well. Medicines never cure anything. And there's that part that I read before of he gets the medication and becomes a chronic patient. And then he says, I don't think there is any illness that is not dependent upon the soul. No such thing exists. What I think about that, because I don't, the word soul, I have don't really know exactly what it means to at all. Like, it has a lot of meaning somehow, but so much that I don't know exactly where we land when we say that. But if we, like, from the point of view of Jinshin Jitsu, thinking of the body, just because the body is visible, it's an easy reference point. And it's easy to forget, like, to not have the sense of wonder about what all are the invisible things that are keeping the body going and happening and shaping itself in this way. And just keeping, not even talking about what that has to do with the soul, but just that what they call the energy bodies, or the different layers of energy body, different layers of energy that then so happen to make this form for a while. All of those layers, if we just keep that into account, it's a different picture. And there's already the where there's not a strong, like, we have our, there's the six layers of individual energy, and then the seventh layer that's without that, I don't have my six layers. This is called the seventh depth of energy. The seventh depth of energy is light raining down everywhere. It's not me, and it's not a person anymore. It's not an individual anymore. And so it's like there is where there's that part that's this and not that, but that is dependent on something that is not even down here. It's this that is for all of us. And then there's the eighth and the ninth, which are, it's a point and nothing, which we could, in Buddhist terms, we could call emptiness, but we can call it whatever we want. But I like how there's like a, it gradually gets more subtle, and then it goes from subtle individual, which may be a soul, to not individual, but it's not, it's a, what's the word, seamless. It's a seamless situation.